Coach with us here, as he will be every Monday. You guys are a couple weeks in now. You've gotten to see your team in the practice situation with Philadelphia and then in the game. Are you happy with where you guys are?
Well, I don't know if that's the right word, Mike. I think we're making progress, and we got a long way to go. But players are working hard. I think we're in pretty good condition, and we had a good week with Philadelphia. This will be another great opportunity for us against Tampa this week, and we'll just see if we can keep improving as a team. But we got a long way to go.
What do you get out of those joint practices and then the intensity level change? Do you see a big change when you go from the joint practices with a team to actually playing a game against them?
Oh, of course. Yeah, the games are much they're a much higher competitive level. But the practices are good because we go over a lot of situations that don't come up in the games, you know, especially in the at the end of the first half or end of the game where a lot of the players that would normally be in that situation aren't in. We hit those situations in practice, you know, a lot of blitzes and things like that that we don't necessarily run in the game. We get to see in practice. So there's a lot of good opportunities there, and you get to build some things on your team that you just see some from somebody else. You see all the stuff that you do, but this is a chance for you to see somebody else's schemes and also their players and those matchups. So I think it's a good experience.
Along those lines, Coach, when you have a game like last Friday where a couple good situations came up, you got the backed up situation, you had the punt, there was the time before halftime where, you know, there was the quick 1 minute segment where we're going to be able to get into field goal range, that kind of thing. Does that change your sort of overall script for what you need to have them see in those practices? Or now I've seen it in game, I think they've either got that or we need to coach it up a little more? But you sort of have like a master list of, like, I would like to see a backed up, I'd like to see them in this situation, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, Matt, we've actually worked on those situations and several other ones that didn't come up. As you know, we can't really control what happens in the game. Whatever we get, we get. And if we get another one, if we get another backed up situation, hopefully we'll be able to execute it well. But and if we don't, we coach off the one that we have and still practice it. But I think whatever we get, we try to take advantage of. And right, whatever we don't, then we probably need to keep, you know, rehearsing that to make sure that when it does come up, we have it.
One of the radio storylines of your preseason here has been the new group of wide receivers and how they're going to adapt with Tom Brady. How do you judge that? And when you're watching a group of young guys, how are you judging to see how that is going?
Well, I think you judge each player individually and see what kind of progress they're making. Some guys start fast and fizzle out. Some guys start slow and come on once things come together. Some guys are kind of up and down. So, you know, I think it's just a test of time. We've had a couple weeks of camp, three going all the way back to the rookies, and we've got, you know, three more. So we'll just see how the whole, you know, the whole body of experiences and the body work plays out. I don't think you can really evaluate day to day. I think you have to look at a, you know, a longer period of time. And players have been, you know, they're under stress now. They're tired. They're, you know, it's day after day. They've gotten a lot of football, and I think that helps to level the evaluation out a little bit. It's not, you know, guys can either hang in there and continue to push through it and, you know, perform at a good level, or they, you know, get worn down, or, you know, it's just whatever their level is, you usually start to see it, you know, somewhere between that second and fourth week of training camp and preseason. So, and I think we're seeing that.
Along the lines of sort of that storyline that we talk about quite a bit, looking for the players that make that significant jump between year one and year two, and a guy that obviously I have a clear bias as a linebacker and an end-of-the-line kind of guy. I've loved to watch Chandler Jones' progression throughout last season and have been intrigued about how he might be used this year. One of the things that really caught my eye that I thought was kind of cool, comparable body type that I always look to is kind of Willie, a guy that I knew that's in that 6'5 to 265, 275 kind of range. What's been really impressive for me is seeing Chandler actually play some 5 technique, play some true defensive end in a 3-4 at a lighter body type, something I really hadn't seen before, and he's really looked to not only hold up but to maybe thrive. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw in Chandler and how he's been able to kind of do both roles?
He's got a lot of versatility, Matt. As you know, he's got good length, and he's strong, deceptively strong for his size. But his length gives him that advantage of leverage that, you know, those long arms and long legs just can give you. And you mentioned Willie, and that's another guy who took advantage of that his height and his great leverage. But Chandler, you know, has been on the end of the lines, played some 5 technique, has moved around a little bit in our sub package. He's certainly way ahead of where he was last year with his year of experience, better understanding of our defense, and better understanding what teams try to do against him. So he's really made a lot of progress, and his versatility has been good for us. He's can do a lot of things. He's a smart guy. Assignments really aren't a problem, and he's learned to play, as you say, on the bigger tackles, on the wider on the tackles, on the tight ends, and out in space a little bit. So he's done a good job this year.
It's interesting you bring up the long arms, and that's what we were talking about earlier with Tommy Kelly, and tall guy, longer arms playing inside. What kind of added dimensions can he bring to your defensive line?
Well, it's a tough matchup for those a lot of the centers and guards, those 6'1", 6'2", kind of guys against a 6'5", guy with long arms. And they're just able to gain the edge, use those swim techniques, and it's a tough matchup on the short alignment. So I think Tommy's, brings a good element of experience, playing strength, and also length in there. It's good. It's very good.
Talking to Bill Belichick, as we will every single Monday, Matt Chatham in with me today. Talk about wide receivers, and we brought them up earlier. I think a fan, if I'm watching the wide receivers, I'm seeing who catches the ball. I'm seeing who's open, who catches the ball, what they do after they catch the ball. But I know there's more to the position than that. When you watch this group, the blocking, the other things, what are you seeing from them from that side, from that standpoint?
Well, like you hit it on the catching the ball. It's being able to get open and create separation. It's catching the ball, and then what you can do with it with the ball in your hand. Some guys are elusive, return type runners, and other guys aren't. But and then, of course, it's a lot of assignments and dependability, being in the right place at the right time so the quarterback knows where you are, making the right adjustments. And in the running game, it's taking care of force guys, or depending on what the play is, but blocking and creating opportunities on the second level. I thought the receivers as a group did a very good job against Philadelphia. We broke off a couple long runs, and it was because of their blocking that got the runner into the secondary, or got him that opportunity to get to the corner and then go one-on-one with space against a corner, or a safety, that's the deep safety, and those are huge opportunities for running backs when they have that kind of space. So in the running game, that's a big part of it. And these guys overall as a group are good. They're tough, they have some size, and they're aggressive. They're not afraid to throw it around in there, and that's been good all camp, but it really showed up in the Philadelphia game.
It seemed as if Brady had some early trust for Kimbrell Tompkins, a guy that maybe a lot of us didn't know a lot about coming in, undrafted guy. He certainly looks the part. What have you seen from him?
Well, I think Kimbrell has done a good job for us. He's learning every day, works hard. And, I think we threw over 500 passes in the spring, and I'm sure we've thrown at least that many so far this training camp. So, that's a lot of snaps, a lot of balls to somebody, receivers, tight ends, backs, so forth, read coverages, making adjustments. So, I think we're getting better. We got a long way to go, and we got a very competitive group. We'll just have to see how it all plays out, how they fit together as a group as well.
I shared a story with Mike off the air, and I'm secretly hoping you don't remember this, but early preseason, early preseason game in my career here. I believe it was actually my first one with you. Late in the preseason schedule, we actually got a stop late in the fourth quarter game, and we know how much situational football is important around here and the stuff that we work on. And actually made the tackle to get us off the field, left about a minute on the clock, and we were down by two, so we needed three.
Right.
And like a bonehead, I ran into the punter and the game ended. You recall that play?
I think I do.
Yeah, I think you do.
Told
too.
You.
We had another one of those against Philadelphia too.
Did you? Okay.
Well, a fourth down stop and got the ball back and hit the punter
and the thing.
Kept the drive going.
Exactly. Yep. So along those lines, you're one of these young players comparable to what I was at that point. You've had an okay camp. You're trying to make a name for yourself. You go out and do a dumbass thing like that. What are you looking for from that kind of guy in these next couple of weeks for him to sort of reestablish himself that you would trust him?
Well, to make good decisions, and that's certainly a big part of our game, as you know, Matt, for all of us, coaches, players, everybody that's out there. Is it's not just talent, it's effort and decision making. And we got to make the right one, certainly as it relates to the rules, but also as it relates to what to do with the ball security, our responsibilities, maintaining what we're supposed to do before we go to try to help somebody else, to make sure that we've got our area secured, or our guy blocked, or whatever it is. So You know, it's just about consistency. Look, everybody out there has had good plays. Everybody's had bad plays,
right?
Including the coaches. But it's, you know, about consistency, about trying to eliminate the bad ones and put a lot more good ones on the right. that side of the ledger than, right. than the other side. But, you know, everybody's had made mistakes, and we're going to make them. We just want to make as few as possible.
You've seen a lot of running quarterbacks in your day, or quarterbacks who can run the ball, certainly. The last year or so, this idea of the zone read option has really cropped up as an NFL, more of an NFL type of style of an offense. How similar is it to what's been out there in the past? How different is it? What are its chances of success league-wide?
Well, that's a good question. We'll see how it goes across the board. It certainly presents a little bit of a problem in the run defense because it actually creates another gap. So, you know, you used to be able to, if they had six blockers, you put seven guys down. If they had seven blockers, you put eight guys down, and you had one more than they did. But now with the quarterback as a potential runner, that eighth guy, you know, is now it's an even fight as opposed to you having one more than the offense did. So now it's eight against eight because you got to account for the quarterback. So I think that changes your run defense a little bit and your concepts from that standpoint, similar to, you know, the option teams in college that do that as well. So it's a little different for us, something we haven't seen a lot of until the last couple of years. The Wildcat was the same type of thing, but it was usually with a player who wasn't a very good passer. Now we have guys who can run, who can also throw, so you have to be able to defend both the width of the field and the, you know, the vertical, defend the field vertically. So that is challenging.
We saw some similar things out of you with Tim Tebow once he stepped into the game as a quarterback, and I won't pretend to understand the X's and O's of it, but we saw him run the ball a little bit more, certainly than you would with Tom or with Ryan a quarterback. How do you balance that? How do you balance how much time to allot for the types of plays that he can run? Because anything that you would do that way would take time away from what everybody else is doing. And yet I would assume that's the best chance you have to win while he's in the game. So how do you balance that as the head coach?
Well, it's something that you have to look at. And as you say, the time management and the decisions that you make are important there. You don't want to waste a lot of time on something that doesn't benefit you. But at the same time, you want to try to be prepared for and take advantage of some of the player skills that you have. So I don't think it's uncommon. We've had those type of things in our offense before. And it's, this is a little bit different, but we're not trying to reinvent the game or anything. We're just trying to take advantage of a particular player's skill, and that's no different than something we would do with a tight end or a receiver or a running back who has a skill that we would try to take advantage of. And I'd say Tim is, you're right, the first kind of running quarterback we've really had here since Castle. And as we know, Castle gained a lot of yards in 2008 when he was a quarterback as a runner, and we had a very good rushing offense that year. But a big part of it was due to the yards that he gained. And so, I think that we're hopefully flexible enough offensively to try to take advantage of whoever we have in the game. And Tim's certainly a good runner, so when he's in there, we'll probably let him carry it a few times.
Does the creative coaching side of you get kind of excited about that, doing some different things that you haven't done before and maybe experimenting with Josh and coming up with some different ideas?
Well, sure, if it can help our team and if it can take advantage of, as I say, a skill that a player has, you don't want to not use that. So, Tim's had a lot of experience making those decisions and, you know, whether to give the ball to the back or keep it or pitch it and all those kind of things. So it's not like we're really trying to teach him those things. He's done it a lot. He's kind of, you know, refined the timing and so forth. But, it creates, you know, it's just another thing to put pressure on the defense.
Anything we should ask Vince next?
I think one thing, Vince has had a real good camp, and he's done a great job for us this year, as he's done every year. But, you know, he gives us great leadership. He's in good condition. He takes a lot of snaps out there, and he's always ready to go. We did a couple two-minute drills at the end of practice, and, he never came out. And I think, sometimes people don't realize just how many plays he plays and how hard he plays them. But he's a terrific athlete. Very smart football player, kind of like a linebacker that can, you know, see backfield sets, see plays, recognize things, kind of like a linebacker would do, but, you know, he does it from line of scrimmage. So, he's pretty well versed in all those things. I'm sure he can handle any defensive questions, scheme, or how different offenses. And there was one play in the Philadelphia game. It's pretty unusual where they actually read Vince, so they didn't block him.
Oh wow!
You know that he was the read guy.
Right.
And if he had taken the back, the quarterback would have kept it, and if he didn't, then they would have handed it to the running back. And so, I know he's seen that in the course of his career, but not much lately.
Right. He's expecting to get whammed.
He's expecting to get blocked.
He's
exactly.
expecting the wham in one ear
okay?
or the other.
Did he handle the play well?
Yeah, they handed the ball off to Brown, and he chased them down and made the tackle for about 2 yards. But it's unusual for a defensive tackle, like Matt said, to step across the line of scrimmage and nobody blocks you. And that, you're thinking screen, you're thinking, something's up, because that just doesn't happen.
Well, he had no problems jumping out of your seat, I'll tell you that much. He said, hey, coach is in, I'm out, he will join us next. Coach, thanks so much, we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Mike, Matt, thank you.
Thanks, all right, coach. There you go.